السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی ناؤ کم ٹو اندر سب ہیڈنگ ہیئر، کیئرنگ فار آفنڈ برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز ان لا. وین ون از چارجڈ with caring for one's orphaned brothers and sisters, one should deal with them kindly when one's wife complains about them. Now remember, this is all a section that is advice to the husband, right? This whole section here that we were doing was advice to the husband, right? So this is the last subheading in this section. So what the husband is being told is that if you are the elder brother and you have your younger brothers and sisters, right, and they are orphaned, they are small, they are masoom, they got nobody to look after them, so the responsibility will fall on the elder brother. Now sometimes there's a big age gap between siblings, right? You get sometimes a sibling who is 25, right, and you'll get a small baby there that's maybe 5 years, 8 years, 10 years old, right? Now the mother and father passed away. So this elder brother who is 25, he may be married, he may be having one or two children of his own, but those brothers and sisters of his who are little, they are small, they are orphaned, it is now his responsibility to look after them. Now sometimes if the wife, her islah is not made, so she will start nagging the husband, what you looking after them for? So the husband is being told that he mustn't listen to his wife with regards to this. This is because orphaned children are really not among the living, since their spirit has died with their parents. Orphaned children, once their parents pass away, they are like lost. They are like lost. Sometimes some of them put up a brave front, etc., but they are like lost. It is therefore inappropriate to hit a dead spirit. You can't hit a dead body, right? In fact, even showering excessive love on an orphaned child cannot revive his or her spirit. There is always a sense of gloominess about them, and they can always sense death. In fact, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned that when an orphan and another child are seated together and something is placed before them with the instruction that the one who grabs it first shall keep it, the orphan child will not even attempt to take it. Many a times you will find the orphan child won't even attempt to take it. This is because the orphan's heart is dead. Now we are talking about an orphan. Generally you find this in an orphan whose mother and father both have passed away. If only the father has passed away and they have their mother, then they have little bit of life. But where you find, you know, the mother and father both have passed away, then especially in the first few years after the demise of their parents, they become like totally dead to the world. They're like not interested in anything, right? It is therefore necessary that women caring for their orphaned brothers or sister-in-law should give them extra attention and be gentle with them. Men who are charged with this duty should also be gentle and loving and should take care never to overreact to their wives' exaggerated complaints. Because most of the time, women, they exaggerate everything. Women exaggerate everything most of the time. So the man must not give in, or he must not pay too much attention to his wife's exaggerated complaints. May Allah Ta'ala grant everyone the ability to practice accordingly. We continue now with another subheading, two principles for avoiding domestic disputes. Right? Now here again, now we are focusing on the woman. It was just that one section that was giving advice to the men folk. Now we're coming back to the woman. If woman adhere to the two principles mentioned here under, I am certain that all her disputes with her husband will be effectively terminated. Failure to implement these two principles has led to many unnecessary arguments and divorces, as well as unnecessary scolding and abuse of children because of the great tension within the household. This is a major problem. A lot of time when husband and wife are fighting, husband and wife are upset, they got their own quarrel carrying on, then most times the wife takes it out on the children. Most times. She starts getting ratty with the children and taking off with the children and all that. This is very, very unfair on the children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah Pak is watching. We got our own problem and now we making the children's life a misery. Sometimes the child is getting a shot also in the rush. This is zulam. Right? So what they are saying is that if we adhere to these two principles, inshallah, most of the arguments and the tension and all of that will be sorted out. When these two principles are implemented, the qualities of love, understanding, self-sacrifice, gentleness, and service above self will be created and consolidated. So what is the first principle? The first principle entails learning to frequently use the word all right. What word must start using? All right. To avoid arguments, one should agree and say all right. All right, okay, right? Even if one's husband says that day is night, what he is saying? He is arguing that it is night time, whereas it is daytime. If he says that you should cook something else, say all right. If he says that you need to go somewhere today, all right. In other words, agree to whatever he says. Even if he does not want you to mix with certain people, do not argue with him. Don't argue with him. For example, if he tells you not to attend a wedding hosted by your brother, tell him that you accept whatever he says and you will not attend because he is more important to you than your brother. Thereafter, make dua to Allah Ta'ala saying, O Allah, the hearts of all living ones are in your control. O Allah, fulfill my desire. If it is good for me, then you fulfill the desire because no one can repel your decision. If Allah, you make a decision for me, then nobody can turn that decision away. However, if there is harm for me in what I desire, remove the desire from my heart. It's a simple thing. Don't sit to argue. You see, the problem is, we don't develop our yaqeen upon Allah Pak. Leave affairs in the hands of Allah. Leave the affairs in the hands of Allah. Look, if there is a walima coming up, right? Now we're not talking about this haram kind walimas, where they got music and mingling and photography and extravagance and all of that. We're not talking about that. That even if your husband tells you to go, you must say you don't want to go. Right? We're not talking about that. But say for example, your brother is a pious person, he's a molana, whatever. His son is getting married and there is a walima, he has invited you all for the walima. Now, if it is in your taqdeer, if Allah Pak had decreed that you are going to eat that walima food on that day at that venue, can anybody change that? Nobody can change it. Right? And if Allah Pak has decreed that you're not going to be there, then can anybody make you be there? Nobody can make you be there. So now, when your husband came in the evening, you tell your husband, bhai phoned, my brother phoned, they making the nikah on Friday, and Saturday they're having the walima, Saturday evening they're having the walima. He has invited us to come over. The Warima is at his house. He's just inviting immediate family. He has invited us to come over. Now your husband says, hey, you know what, man? You know, Saturday I like to be at home, man. I'm tired. I want to take a rest. Now we must come after work. I must drive, go all the way there to wherever, Port Shepston or wherever the Warima is. Right? Now he's talking like this. Now you got one of two things you can do. You can turn around and tell him, yeah, but you know, it's my brother. Now, you know, that's my nephew. And I only got two brothers. And, you know, now we have to go for this. It's a family thing. And when your family has a function, then I don't make no excuses. And then you are prepared to go. Now you get into an argument. Now he says something else. You say something else. Right? Now it's all heartache and headache for nothing. Right? If he started speaking negatively, he's saying that, you know what, I don't think I want to go for this thing, and why they made it on Saturday, why they never make it Sunday, all stories like that, right? So it's very simple. You tell him, no problem, all right, okay, whatever it is. If you don't want to go, we won't go, it's all right. If you don't want to go, we won't go, it's fine, it's okay. Now there's no argument. Now there's no argument. If he says, but you know, they should have made it on Sunday. You say, yeah, maybe it would have been more convenient on Sunday. You agree with him. Right? So there's no argument now. Now when he goes for Isha Namaz, now he'll think in his mind, hey, but now, you know, now we have to go, it's family. At the end of the day, he in his mind also, he knows he has to go. Right? But he's just making, he's voicing his opinion, and he may be upset now, why they made it Saturday or whatever. Now don't get into an argument about it. If Allah Pak had decreed for you to be there, then his mind will change. He'll come by the evening, next day, yeah, okay, what dress you're going to be wearing to go? Alright, you must be ready by this time. Right? And you will go. And if it wasn't written for you to go, then even if when you told your brother or you told your husband that, you know what, the Warima is this weekend, he turns on and he tells you, yeah, definitely, hey, we're going. Yeah, I must have the car washed. I'm going to fill the car up the night before. Must take out that kurta there for me. I want to wait. You know, that's my favorite nephew. And we are going. Right? Even if he wants to take you, something will happen and you won't reach there. Something will happen and you won't reach. If it's not meant for you to be there. But if it's meant for you to be there, no matter what whoever does, you will be there. So why make a fuss and a fight? Just hand ourselves over to Allah. Accept our taqdeer. Be happy with our taqdeer. The problem today is we don't want to accept our taqdeer. We want to fight our taqdeer. We don't want to make tafweez and hand over our affairs to Allah. We want to fight everything. So rather leave things in Allah's hand. Whatever he says, all right, no problem. Now not sometime the husband wants a mashwara from you. Right? For example, he takes you to buy material. Right? He takes you to buy material. Now he asks you, which material you want? Now you say, anyone. Or maybe he wants to buy a material for himself to make kurta. Now he's showing you, hey, what you think about this material? Yeah, all right. What do you think about that material? Alright. What do you think about that material? He'll get tired of you. He'll go find a second wife. He'll go find a second wife who can give him an opinion and show him what's a nice thing, who can be involved with him. The time when he's asking you, now you need to get involved. Yeah, wait, let me see this. Let me see how does it crease. Let's look at this white. Let's look at it against the other one. No, I think this one will be better. What do you think? But then whichever one he chooses in the end, then you tell him, yeah, no, no, that is a nice one. That is a nice one. And let him buy it. Right? Now he bought a new car. You are buying a new car. Right? Now he's asking you, he brought the brochure. He's asking, okay, what color? Oh, anyone. You think we should put this feature in the car? Yeah, anything. Or he bought a gift for you. He brought a gift. Expensive gift he brought and came for you. Oh, all right. He'll get fed up. So there's an occasion and there is a time for everything. they are saying that must say all right, right? The kitab is advising, but when is this? This is when there is, you can see there is a confrontation going to brew up, right? The husband is trying to establish a rule, or the husband is asserting his authority, right? Then at that time, accept. No, all right, okay, whatever you say, we'll do what you say. You are my husband. You are the most important person in my life. If you say I mustn't go there, I won't go. Finish. Story over. Right? And then make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, you know I want to go there. You know I want to attend the walima. If it's good for me to attend, Ya Allah, you make the asbab for me to go. And Ya Allah, if it's not good for me to go, then this desire that is in my heart to go, you remove this desire from my heart. Because hearts are in your control. So now, if it's good for you to go, Allah Pak will turn your husband's heart and make him take you. And if it's not good for you to go, Allah Pak will remove the desire from your heart and you won't feel like going anymore. Right? When your husband is in a good mood, tell him sweetly. Tell him sweetly. That the occasion of your brother's house, the occasion at your brother's house is one of happiness and joy, and their happiness will be incomplete without your presence. Explain to him why you should attend without offending him in any way. Also tell him that you would appreciate his generous gesture if he permitted you to attend. If you are a good wife, there is scarcely a man in this world who would still refuse permission. This approach should be adopted for any other purposes as well. If after this he still refuses, exercise sabr and accept whatever he says. It will not be long thereafter that he will have perfect reliance and confidence in you. He will then accede to all your requests and will even consult you in all matters. In the early days, the husband also, he wants to show who's in charge, you know. He wants to show who's in charge. So must leave him. Leave him. Let him carry on. You still behave with adab, with muhabbat, with respect. Slowly you will see that husband will get so much of confidence in you that after that, any decision he wants to make, he will come and consult you first. Because Allah Ta'ala has made men leaders of women, every man expects his wife to listen to him. A wife should therefore abide by whatever her husband decides. Of course, she may present her opinion on any matter and he will certainly consider it. However, the final decision is his. If a woman wants her word to be binding on her husband and, right, if she wants her word to be binding on her husband and she refuses to acknowledge that he is her leader, she is opposing Allah Ta'ala's natural system as well as the Sharia. She is opposing the system that Allah Pak has put in place. She is opposing the Shariat. In fact, she is also opposing logic and will therefore be the cause of dissension in the home. A husband will never be able to point a finger at his wife if she accepts him as her leader and does everything that pleases him. Obviously, not things that break Allah's command. Whenever a woman is leaving her father's home as a bride, she should always remember that following advices that a father gave to his daughter. What the father said to the daughter: O my beloved daughter, the light of my eyes, O the radiance of my home, the delight of my life, remember this advice of your father. But my daughter, bear in mind that since time began, the nature of every daughter has been one of patience and contentment. Patience and contentment. Never let every little thing cause tears of blood to flow. Tolerate everything that life presents. Keep the pleasure of your lifelong companion ahead of everything and everyone for as long as you live. and please. Never allow a blemish to taint your father's name. The du'as of your parents are ever with you. So may this journey of your life be ever so blessed. This is the advice that a father is giving. Two keywords. Patience and contentment. Patience and contentment. These are the two keywords. And the third thing that he mentions is, don't let little things trouble you so much that now you're crying tears of blood. Small things. You know, sometimes, what's the sad thing? Sometimes the ladies start complaining about the husband's poverty. Right? They complain. He can't provide this for me. He can't provide that for me. Now, aren't there so many daughters, right, who are living in their father's homes and the fathers are poverty stricken and the father can't afford this and can't afford that? Then how come we make sabr in that situation? But when it comes to the husband, then we just can't seem to make sabr. Sometimes there is some occasion, the daughter may want to go to the souk, right? The daughter may want to go to the souk, but the father says, no ways, we're not going to that place of fitna, right? The father says, that's his opinion. He says, no, it's a place of fitna, I'm not taking you. So now what the daughter has to do? She has to keep quiet, make sabr, father don't want to take. She may get pulled up a little bit, but that's about it. Next day she has to be smiling again, right? But now if the husband says, I'm not taking you to the souk, then why must start screaming at the top of our voice and squealing and shouting and this and that? Then phoning this sister and phoning that sister and phoning the mother. He doesn't want to take me anywhere. He doesn't ever take me anywhere. Now he may have taken you last weekend, he took you for a picnic. Weekend before that he took you to the Bergs. In the holiday he took you for a holiday. Last year he took you for Umrah. All that is forgotten. Everything is forgotten. Wherever he took you, whatever he did, everything is forgotten. Why? Because you wanted to go to a certain place and he refused to take you to that particular place. So now what you tell your mother on the phone? You know, the way I'm suffering here, I must just be confined to the house. He doesn't ever take me anywhere. This is how women exaggerate things. And then if the husband has to remind her, didn't last week we went for a picnic? Yeah, one time in 10 years you took me for a picnic, now what's the big deal? But isn't the week before that also we went somewhere? Yeah, you only started doing that now. For how long are you going to carry on? But last year I took you for Umrah also. Didn't I say, no, we won't go other places, we'll save and go for Umrah? Yeah, every husband takes their wife for Umrah. My brother-in-law takes his wife every year for Umrah. What big deal you made, you took me for Umrah? This is how women talk. When they get upset, this is how they talk. When they get upset, they don't think about the respect of their husband. They don't even think about the laws of Sharia. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So this mustn't be the case with a Muslimah wife. So that is the first tip. The first tip that they gave to avoid arguments and disputes. Right? The first principle is that what you must do, get used to using the word alright. When you see now there's tension building up, right? There's a confrontation going to take place. If this thing is leading to an argument, then just give in. Just give in. All right, no. What you're saying is right. I agree with you. All right, okay, no problem. You're my husband. I love you. If you don't want me to go, no problem. If you want me to do that, I'll do it. Understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal.